We are building a path for the peace paradigm. King and Gandhi, many more, have discovered something core. Now we're building a path for the peace paradigm. Every challenge is another highway sign on the path of the peace paradigm. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Peace Paradigm Radio. I'm Stephanie Van Hook, the Executive Director of the Meta Center for Nonviolence, and the show is about the active power of nonviolence. What does nonviolence look like in action? What does it mean? What can we learn about it? What can we learn from movements today? And what's the history and science of nonviolence and all this good stuff? I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Michael Nagler. And our guest today is the person who you just heard playing the guitar in that theme song. His name is Lloyd Ferris, and he actually wrote the theme song to Peace Paradigm Radio. But he's a great educator, and he is here to share some songs about nonviolence with us throughout the show. So this is going to be a really interesting one today. But before that, we always do a little segment on nonviolence in the news that you really can't get anywhere else in the corporate mass media. So let's find out what's happening in our world and the edge of nonviolence. Michael Nagler.
Thank you, Stephanie. You know, there's a lot going on in the world, and I'd like to share some of it with you, kind of a sampling, worldwide sampling, and a little bit of interpretation. Well, let's start close to home in a good Gandhian spirit. Here or nearby in Sonoma County, Occupy Sonoma County and a group called GMO Free Sonoma County are asking people to join them in a global march against Monsanto happening on this coming Saturday, if you're listening live, Saturday, May 23rd. And while this is local, it's a good example of local global interaction because they will be joined by 400 marches simultaneously in 50 countries around the world on Saturday, May 23rd. Still here on the left coast, I'm not sure you're aware that the Port of Seattle representatives have approved in a kind of a backdoor deal with Shell Oil to allow them to dock their drilling equipment at a Seattle port before heading to the Arctic for exploration and drilling, which the president has just allowed. Now, ever since this news came out to the public, which was about a month ago, there has been nonviolent trainings going on, especially for people who will be on kayak. They're calling themselves the Mosquito Fleet, training to form a human wall to try to keep the Shell rig from leaving Seattle for the Arctic. So check out the Shell Know website. I suppose that language is permissible on Peace Paradigm Radio, Shell Know. And their website is shellknow.org. And as of this morning, actually, a big drilling platform was brought into the Seattle harbor, and it was greeted, quote-unquote, by a group of about a dozen or so kayaks. And somehow this made me sad, this picture of this enormous sky-high rig, almost as big as the Space Needle from the angle that we were viewing it from, and these tiny little boats in trying to block them. Well, not trying to block them yet. They're staying clear. But in another sense, I suppose it just shows you that the power of nonviolence is not a physical power. What these people are able to accomplish will not be limited by their physical size. Now, this summer, I'm happy to announce, because this is a project dear to our heart, that there's a summer training institute in restorative practices in schools that will go on from June 15th to 17th in Longmont, Colorado, which is near Boulder. I tend to think that everything in Colorado is near Boulder. That's not necessarily true. But we think very highly of restorative practices in schools because this we see as one step in three giant steps. You get restorative practices in schools. It's very doable. It's happening. And you go from there to restorative practices in the prison system. Incidentally, I just got a phone call a few days ago from a former inmate who was a pen pal of mine, and he had been in prison for 29 years and 10 months, just got out. So we hop from restorative practices in our schools to the same logic in the prison system itself, and from there, I think we'd be ready to tackle war. Let's see. I did mention earlier that at Swarthmore College, which has housed the Swarthmore College Peace Collection for decades now and is now also housing the Global Nonviolent Action Database, run by Lee Smithy as a curator, that the students have been adamantly protesting for divestment from fossil fuels. And just recently, unfortunately, the president refused and allowed those investments to continue. But here's a statement from Lee. Thank you for all of the support and interest. I'm sure there will be more news to share in the fall, if not even sooner. Our students have already committed to escalate their actions in the fall as the new president arrives and as a new chair of the board takes over. So that's the nonviolent spirit for you, not deflected by one defeat. Now, moving out into the wider world, as some of our readers know, listeners know, we visited Palestine back in October, and we were hosted by a man named Hafez al-Harani and the village of Atuwani, which is kind of a hub village for the surrounding area in the South Hebron Hills, where there's been a lot of settlement expansion and steady resistance from Palestinians. And Hafez is the head of the Palestinian Popular Committee. Well, recently an entire village, Susia, was declared an archaeological site. And then its land was expropriated, and inhabitants were evicted and forced to move in their nearby agricultural land, where on 2012, the Israeli Civil Administration distributed demolition orders to over 50 temporary structures. So last year, the residents of Susia, represented by Rabbis for Human Rights, a group that we spoke with in Jerusalem, sued for a request to freeze the demolition order's implementation. The Israeli High Court in this month, May 5th, rejected the request, allowing the demolition of the village. Now, here is a paragraph I want to share with you from a book that Iyad Bernat has written. He's from the nearby village of Bil'in, which also has seen actually some rather pronounced successes in blocking the illegal construction of the wall between their village and their agricultural lands. And as usual, I like to give you a sense of the tone and tenor of people's spirit and not just, here's the facts, ma'am. So this is a paragraph from the manuscript that he had just sent me. We are a simple people, and more than anything, we want to see peace. But before there is peace, there must be justice, and we must have our freedom. We are not against Jews or Israelis, but we are against the occupation. We need the support of the international community, and words are not enough. We need people to take direct action, both here in Palestine and in their own countries, against the governments who support this occupation. So two key nonviolent principles there, that they are not against the people but against their actions, and that they do need the support of the international community.
Thanks, Michael. So we're really lucky to have Lloyd Ferris in the studio with us with some music. So I was thinking that as Lloyd has these educational songs about nonviolence, that we can intersperse them into the news, because that's where he draws his inspiration from, what's going on in the world. And so, Lloyd, welcome to Peace Paradigm Radio. Let's just get you in here now. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good.
You're doing good? So you have a song that might complement some of the news, and I'm going to turn up your guitars, Mike. See how it goes?
Okay. This is written for the Shante Sena Network. Here's a way that some people are helping out in places all over the world. With these people I will stand. Got no gun in my hand. You shoot them, you shoot me. They are living in fear. Shante, that is why I am here. Shante, but I'm not. I'm not your enemy. I am a Shante Sena soldier, a soldier in the army of peace. No one is bolder than a Shante Sena soldier. I don't keep a weapon in my reach. You're feeling pressure, I know. Shante, you've got a tough road to hoe. Shante Sena, you shoot us, it's gonna follow you. But I am not gonna budge. Shante, and I am not here to judge. Shante Sena, we all do what we gotta do. I am a Shante Sena soldier. My armor is a love I hold within. No one is bolder than a Shante Sena soldier. There's no one I'm afraid to call a friend. I train well, I don't yield to fear and panic in the field. I train to listen to every sigh, every mission. My eyes are open wide. I am a Shante Sena soldier. My armor is a love I hold within. No one is bolder than a Shante Sena soldier. There's no one I'm afraid to call Shante Sena soldier. There's no one I'm afraid to call a friend. You ask me why I don't pack a knife or pistol in my pack. The answer's simple, and here is why. I pack a pistol, I'm more likely to die. And I am a Shante Sena soldier, soldier in the army of peace. No one is bolder than a Shante Sena soldier. I don't keep a weapon in my reach. Don't keep a weapon in Shante Sena soldier. I Shante Sena soldier.
That was Lloyd Ferris in the studio here on Peace Paradigm Radio. And he was singing about the Shante Sena Network and Shante Sena work, which is Gandhi's idea of a peace army. And everybody getting trained in the tools and skills of nonviolence. What would that look like if we could depend on ourselves for security instead of someone else? And what would happen if we could have our security without weapons of violence, but with the weapons of love and nonviolence? And so that's what he was talking about in this song. Do you have anything else to say about that song, Lloyd?
Well, I'm just reminded of Erica Chenoweth's research saying that when a revolution is nonviolent, it's what, three times more likely?
That's
to
right.
Be
two times more likely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I exaggerate. Two times more likely to succeed and to end up with a democratic government rather than a dictatorship.
Yeah, a nonviolent, and here we just mean with violence not present, a nonviolent revolution is twice as likely to succeed as a violent one, an insurrection. And it's usually going to take one-third the time. But here's the most amazing fact, and that is it's followed by greater democratic freedoms, even if it fails, than a violent revolution that succeeds. So it's a classic example of what we like to call work versus work in the meta center, and that the meaning that while you're doing overt work that you're going to see the results of very quickly, if you are nonviolent in spirit, you are doing a very deep work that's going to affect the heart and mind and show up later on. And if you can know how to connect those dots, you'll have a valuable lesson, the power of nonviolence. And you know what, Lloyd? My next news item is about Ashanti Sena.
Ooh.
Yeah. I want to point out before I jump into it that, Stephanie, you were talking about security. You know, the initials of Ashanti Sena Network are SSN, which to most people means social security number, but this is your real social security, and national and personal. Well, from time to time, I've been telling you about the work of a good friend of ours in Jammu and Kashmir. His name is Rajiv Vora. He's been working with an organization called Swaraj Peet, and he has basically built a peace army, Ashanti Sena, in that region, where the biggest concern is the tensions that can flare up, and they did about 10 years ago, between Muslims and Hindus. So they're more worried about that than they are about the militancy, about being caught between Pakistan and India. This could blow up their social structures very quickly. So he talked about coming into a town where Muslim and Hindu neighbors would pass one another on the street and not make eye contact and stuff like that. Sounds like New York. But he has done very good work, and they now have a strong team of experienced people, mostly youth, who has been put in place as the team of nonviolent peacekeepers and peacemakers. If you're familiar with that distinction, peacekeeping means intervening to stop an ongoing conflict. Peacemaking means to address the causes of the conflict. And peace building means changing the underlying social structures that lead to those causes. But anyway, they're in the location of control area, the LOC, which is a very dangerous area and very sensitive districts. And they are now issue-specific. They're getting issue-specific training in certain tasks. And they've innovated something. This, to my knowledge, which may not be the most extensive in the world, they're doing something systematically which has only been kind of ad hoc up to now. And that is they're talking about two tiers of Ashanti Sena soldiers. The tier of people that are trained from outside somewhere. And they go in and they bring about a second tier of locals who are relatively new to the training but who are operating with the support of the first tier. And again, to share with you a bit of a comment that gives you something of the flavor. There's a very important person in this region, Sri Ved Bhasin, who is called a doyen among public figures and in Indian journalism. And this is what he told our friend Rajiv in Srinagar last year. Communal polarization is our biggest peace and security problem. Only a Gandhian approach will work here. No one is going to attend to it if you don't. And a general, General Dhar, a respected Jammu elder, who was a skeptic about the early meetings, having seen the team visiting Kishtwar, said, quote, "You must speed up and expand." And that reminded me of a conversation that I had of a prominent member of the Nicaraguan government back when we were doing peace teams of a kind in Nicaragua, standing in the villages that were on the Honduran border. And I asked Ernesto Cardenal, how are the peace teams doing? And I was overwhelmed by his response. He pounded his fist on the table. He said, wherever they have been, there has been no violence. We need more of them, and we need them quickly. And interestingly enough, he said that to me in Spanish. His translator later said to the English-speaking public, there has been almost no violence. And Ernesto pounded the table again. He said, I said no violence. And it was so typical for me of how when a person in the general public without special sensitization to nonviolence, when they hear what nonviolence is doing, they can't believe it. I mean, I once wrote an article called Strength Through Peace, which was a parody on then-president's Peace Through Strength. And when I saw the article appeared in the newspaper, guess what? It said Strength Through Peace at the title. I said, oh, he must have got that. Must be a typo.
You mean Peace Through Strength?
Yes.
In the title?
The title that I wrote was Strength Through Peace. What they put up there, thank you, yes, was Peace Through Strength.
Oh.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to keep on educating people.
Maybe it was their nonviolent resistance to what you wrote.
Yeah, well, it succeeded. There wasn't a thing I could do about it.
No, I think that our musician here in the studio has something that he'd like to say here.
Well, first of all, I was really into the peace through strength idea when I was very young. I was an adamant supporter of Barry Goldwater when I was 12.
That's and about the right age.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I'm really interested in is how do you introduce nonviolence to somebody who really doesn't think it's going to work? And they always, of course, bring up ISIS or Hitler. And so I wrote this song about one of Gandhi's quotes about the madman with a sword. Mm. And I'd like to play that.
Would you like to tell us a little bit, Lloyd, about what that phrase means in a Gandhian context?
Yeah, although I'd like to see if it shows through in the song first and
please
then talk about it afterwards. Because it may not, you know. And I haven't written the melody to the first part of it because I just finished this very first part of it last night when my wife listened to it and said, no, you got to add something to it. So here it is, and I'm just going to kind of wrap it, I suppose. Gandhi was a warrior who never shot a man down, but he and his people drove off the British crown. If you think he was weak when he wouldn't raise a hand, it's because he had the greatest weapon of all as his command. Nonviolence got the job done. Nonviolence overcame his opponent. Now, it's true sometimes it won't get the job done, and you have to save lives in the moment. The trick is to know the difference, to make sure you really know it. Gandhi himself said, if you see a madman running through a crowd with a sword, he's gonna kill everyone except you have a gun and you can send him home to his lord. Well, okay, if there's no other way, you shoot him with regret. But we could save more lives if we focused our minds on a far more dangerous threat. I'm talking about the other 89% of the time when the madman is a straw man. The other 89% of the time when the madman is our illusion, excusing what we're doing. Wars have started, communities parted over facts that were simply not so. We all would be safer if there was a way for us to make it so we really know. Does our leader just want to unite us with a phony threat? Or maybe there's a hidden agenda that he knows we would never accept. Let's talk about the other 89% of the time when the madman is a straw man. The other 89% of the time when the madman is our illusion, excusing what we're doing. Now I'm not saying everything is fine, even when we're in the 89. There's a million ways to get attacked, for which Gandhi knew how to fight back. You start by tracking the other 89%.
5% of the time when the madman is a straw man. The other 89% of the time when the madman is our illusion, excusing what we're doing, creating madmen, creating madmen, creating sad men, creating madmen, and using admin to do it.
Lloyd Ferris playing When the Madman Was a Straw Man, and this is Peace Paradigm Radio, and he's talking about a concept in nonviolence, which is called Madman with a Sword, and this is about, it's a serious question, because you said that, Lloyd, this is, there sometimes comes up the question of what about Hitler, what about ISIS, as though that negates all of the nonviolence work right. that could be done in any situation, that we have to constantly resort to violence. And you're talking, you're saying, yes, there is an answer to those situations, but at the same, you know, these, when we're out of options in nonviolence, but the question is, why do we wait so long to get to that point? Nonviolence starts much earlier than anything else. Michael Nagler has something to say about this.
Surprise, surprise. First of all, Lloyd, thank you so much. What a great song. This is quite a show. Yeah, people look to Gandhi's exception of what he said was something like, if a madman is ranging through the village with a sword, the person who dispatches that lunatic will have done himself and the community a favor. And they look to that as an excuse for using military interventions here and there. And they forget that there were three rules. They forget that there was a condition that this had to be an emergency. It had to be something that you did not see coming and where you were caught flat-footed. So the three rules are, if you can do this without hatred or fear, mind you, that is a tough one. That's a tough if. But if you could do it without feeling hatred or fear, but just be motivated by a desire to protect others, and if there's no whining in case you get injured in the process, and most importantly, if instead of saying, this proves we should always carry guns, which is what we're saying to airline pilots after 9/11, you say, what went wrong? Mm-hmm. What caused our society to generate the madmen that Lloyd was just talking about? And I am going to tithe X percentage of the rest of my life working on that problem. Mm-hmm. Now, if you do all those three things, Gandhi himself was willing to say what you did was nonviolent. Because remember, violence, the term from Sanskrit that we get violence from, well, we don't get it from that word, but when we talk about nonviolence, we're using the word ahimsa. And himsa probably doesn't mean harming exactly. It means the desire to harm. So every now and then, if you've waited too long, you might get pinched in a situation where you have to use lethal force to protect others, especially, from a greater disaster. If you do that without wanting to harm, it's not a violent act. So how on earth are you going to swing that? Well, it takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of training, spiritual grounding, and so forth. Yeah, Lloyd.
I would like to add, there's always the story of Anita Tuff.
Mm-hmm.
Antoinette Tuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, let's get to the story of Antoinette Tuff right after our midway break. You're listening to Peace Paradigm Radio, and we are broadcasting from our mother station here in Point Reyes Station, KWMR. And if you're hearing us archived on the web or on another station today, welcome to our show. And we want to talk to Lloyd Ferris, who's here in the studio with us, about some of the songs that he's written that relate to nonviolence education and that relate to what's going on in the world as well. You know, so everything that happens in the world is an opportunity to learn something more about nonviolence. This is kind of the path that we're on at this time. And yet we also usually start our show with some nonviolence in the news. So today we've been weaving together the news and the music. And I know that Michael still has some news to get to. But before the break, we were talking about the question of madmen with a sword. And Lloyd rightly brought up the story of Antoinette Tuff. tough. And we call this the tough principle, actually, at MediCenter. And the tough principle, you know, it's she spells her last name T-U-F-F, and but it's a tough principle because nonviolence is also tough. But this is a woman in Decatur, Georgia, who was able to talk to a young man who came into a school with loaded guns, and he got through this, you know, the quote-unquote metal detectors and security system. And she used communication, empathy, and, you know, just connection, human connection, to talk the young man into letting himself get arrested by the National Guard, who were outside making things even slightly more tense and a little worse. We need to have a national conversation about the issue of the violence in our schools and so forth. But Michael Nagler has something to say about that.
Again, big surprise. I actually want to say two things. They're pretty big principles that are involved here. One is that Antoinette Tough was able to talk him down using a pattern of speech behavior, which, as a former classicist, I happen to know was actually well developed among Greek and Roman writers. It was called a consolatio. Mm-hmm. So there's a regular way to do this. You start off by empathizing with the person. And in her case, she said, honey, you've got problems. I've got problems, too. Let me tell you about the divorce I've been through and so forth. And you then remind the person that the trap that they feel that they're in is temporary. She said to him, things are going to be all right. We're going to get out of this. You don't have to die today. And then finally, you do the exhortation, which is to say, snap out of it or put down your weapons or whatever you're trying to exhort a person to do. In this case, put your assault rifle here up on my desk and lie down on the floor. And when you're ready, you tell me, give me the signal, and I'll call the police in. So what she did, she, of course, had no idea that there was a classical pattern called a consolatio. So what this means is that within us, there is kind of an innate recognition that there is a way to defuse a violent situation. And if we took that and institutionalized it so that instead of relying on the security gate and the police, which did not do very well in this situation, we relied on the human being who did very well, we'd be on our way to a secure life.
Yeah, and if I could just say something about that, Michael, this innate quality of nonviolence that you're talking about, I agree, and yet I think we also need to see that it's not necessarily innate either. Tough probably had a lot of experience just as a woman in society, being, you know, in her community, being somebody who's recognized and you know, playing an important role in the lives of many people around her, which we all do. We play an important role in keeping the peace all the time in our lives. And so she was using those skills that we take for granted in a situation where we're told that we can't use them. And so, you know, she had been training. I could say she'd been training since birth for this in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's quite right, Stephanie. And in fact, there was a specific kind of training that was involved because her minister had been teaching people in her congregation to do what they called grounding. And she confessed that she was totally terrified when this guy, Michael Brandon Hill, walked in with a backpack full of ammo. But despite that, she was able to, you know, do her grounding so that she didn't talk to him from a panicky place. And what we know about mirror neurons means, like, if someone comes in to a room and is threatening me and I get panicky, the two panics sum up to terror. But if I'm not panicky, I'm actually having a calming effect in that person's nervous system.
Really? So I would like to do a song about getting grounded in that deep peace.
That's a great idea.
If you want to feel depression, bring up the news online. Click on the science section when you're sick of all the senseless crimes. And read about how that dog-eat-dog is in our DNA. When you're ready for a little relief, you might close your eyes and breathe and ponder what I say. There's a deep, deep peace
Under that relentless grind, a deep, deep peace, deep peace of mind. Gandhi called it moksha, Saint Paul called it grace. Skeptics call it fiction, but those who get a taste find their vain ambitions no longer have appeal, and they dedicate their life to doing something real. With that deep, deep peace, there are so many mountains to climb. And that deep, deep peace, deep peace of mind. You know, there have even been studies into this. They had a bunch of people, a lot of people, meditate at certain random times during the day in war zones. Like the Middle East, like in the USA in the inner city. And they found that when they were meditating, violence went down. And when they stopped meditating, violence went up. So I have a suggestion for anybody who wants to try this. You won't know what effect you've had, but when you wake up in the morning, or maybe while you're doing the dishes, or getting ready for bed at night, or as you're going off to sleep, think about what it would feel like, what it would look like, what it would sound like to have a world of peace. And then go beyond that. What would you imagine we'd have to do to get there? What would that look like? What do you think is the next step? And the next step after that? Okay, I know, it's pretty discouraging. Okay, but just consider it a fantasy. And just enjoy the fantasy. Just for 5 minutes. And do that every day, just a little bit. As more of us stumble on it and go about something real, some of us may feel threatened enough to kill. If the rest of us choose to just give in or destroy them in fear, any peace we achieve will disappear. But with deep, deep peace, we can be strong and still be kind. So deep, deep peace can flourish here in space and time. And I believe faith in every form will pull us through the storm to deep peace of mind.
Thank you, Lloyd Ferris, here in the studio with us, and this is Peace Paradigm Radio. Lloyd, can you talk a little bit about what your influences are in music and what you're doing here?
Well, my influence in music, the first really big one was actually the Beach Boys, something I can't really reproduce here with a voice and guitar. But I've written some songs that kind of have that mantra in the background, you know. Mm-hmm. The Lion Sleeps Tonight had that kind of mantra, too. And I also really love the Golden Gate Quartet. This is really old stuff, but they were a Negro spiritual. I just love vocal music. And they had a lot of rhythm and everything. And I just love that kind of thing. And also the folk music of the early 60s.
Mm-hmm. These are your musical influences, but what about your, you know, what you're singing about? Does that come from music?
Yeah. What I'm singing about, there was a time when I went into music as an escape from the fact that I just couldn't figure out how to be an anti-communist during the Cold War and also a peacenik. Mm. And I was trying to find out, you know, how the big question that I had in my mind when I was like 13 or something was, how do we stand up to Hitler, modern day Hitlers, during the Cold War without creating, you know, the end of the world? Mm. And it was that dichotomy of things that just got me thinking. And I grew up in a fairly spiritual household. So I've always felt rather optimistic, even when there wasn't any outward cause for it, mm-hmm. and felt like I wanted to go a little deeper than all the answers that were being given on the TV. Peace through strength, prosperity by just letting things be exactly the way they are, with people starving all over the world. I wanted to go deeper and find out what was really going on. And I think one of the things that really motivated me a lot was the plight of people in what we then called the Third World. And, you know, it started out with the idea that in order to be a good anti-communist, we must offer them something that the Russians don't. And then I found out that both us and the Russians were actually not offering them anything, but more exploiting them. And I've been wanting to tell that whenever I can, because I think it's real important for anybody in any country to stop and question the government, to question the culture, to make sure that we're not just going along with something that maybe isn't good, and then keep the good values in our culture and criticize the ones and take action about the ones that are not working.
Yeah, as I was going to add that it's interesting that, you know, it needs to go beyond criticism, it seems, in nonviolence, that we have to question, or beyond questioning. We question, and then we, you know, questioning is a form of acting, but then what? So always asking that question. And I want to segue back over to some nonviolence in the news as well, because there's a lot going on, which is the expression of that questioning happening all over the world and what people are doing about it. So let's get back to the news.
Indeed, there is a lot going on around the world, Stephanie. But before I get back into it, I just want to tell everyone listening that this is a particularly keen pleasure for me because Lloyd is playing my guitar.
That's right. Lloyd Harris is playing the guitar of Michael Nagler. Do you feel the
yes, the influence there?
Yes.
It's better than I ever played it, I have to say. Yeah. Well, I reported, I think, in our last show about an interesting movement in Hawaii where the villain of the piece is not necessarily a big corporation or a military government, but rather actually a scientific enterprise. A very large telescope is being built on an island, on the big island and on a mountain called Mauna Kea, which means, you know, Mother Kea, I think, or it has other meanings also. And this happens to be a sacred place to the indigenous people. And so that's a type of conflict we're not unfamiliar with in the United States. We, you know, bulldoze into an Indian Native American gravesite or something like that. But this movement to block the building of the telescope, and they're not against science, they're not against the telescope, they just want it to be built somewhere else. The movement is gaining national and international support. And I mentioned earlier that in most nonviolent campaigns of a large scale, where you don't have some Gandhis running around, international support is critical. There was a pretty strong nonviolent uprising in Pakistan in 1972. Nobody in the world at large paid any attention, and it fizzled. Think of all the grief that it might have saved us. Mm-hmm. But although there is this principle that even one nonviolent actor is enough if that person is totally pure, most of us are not. And so we usually do need a resonance in the community. And I remember talking with Mubarak Awad many years ago and asking him if he wanted us to come to Palestine. And he said, definitely, yes, we want you to come. He said, we are not afraid to die, but we do not die alone. We do not want to die alone. So he said, come, don't tell us what to do, but just be there. So so an interesting wrinkle here in this particular campaign of Mauna Kea is that the indigenous and First Nation peoples around the world are beginning to join in. So this is something that has not been seen before. Indigenous peoples have usually been so isolated and so separate from one another. But here, someone, for example, like Chief Arvo Looking Horse, who is the spiritual leader of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota nations. That was news to me. And the 19th generation keeper of a sacred pipe released a statement of solidarity and likened indigenous sacred sites to a church or a temple. And he said, we, the spiritual leaders and medicine people, know that the sacred site is part of all our lives. So they're not just fighting for something for themselves. It's something that they feel is of value to all life, to the world. And while this issue has been raised, here comes another one. And this is quite interesting because there's a principle in nonviolence called no fresh issue, where when you have gotten some leverage on your opponent, you do not say, well, now I've got some other demands while we're at it.
Why would we want a stale issue?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. I think I'll ask all of our listeners to ponder that.
Yeah.
But no new issue should be introduced just because you have a little bit of an advantage. However, it is often the case that when you pick up a piece of a problem, it tugs on the whole rest of the problem. And sure enough, Hawaiians are now starting to speak about Hawaiian independence, not just the blocking of this one project. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a considerable argument in their favor is that the nation of Hawaii, I hope I'm not spoiling anybody's vacation, but the nation of Hawaii is still under illegal occupation, technically, by the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. The Hawaiian kingdom still exists. And I've known people who were quite active in this campaign, but didn't know what to say about it until recently. In 1843, this kingdom was recognized as an independent sovereign nation by Great Britain and France. And in 1893, 50 years later, a U.S. Marine's coup d'etat overthrew the Hawaiian kingdom government.
I'd like to add that that was engineered by the grandfather of John Foster Dulles, who helped to engineer a lot of our coups after World War II in Central America, etc.
So I wonder if you have a song that might relate to some of the news that we're hearing again. What do you think?
What about Spirit?
Spirit. I don't know if that relates to the news. I could do that song, though.
All right. Well, you have a request. You have an instrument.
Yeah, I got a request.
And after all, it is my guitar.
Yeah, right. It wants to play this song.
Michael, that's not your guitar. You're a trustee of that guitar.
That's correct.
That's right,
that's the nonviolent form of ownership.
Okay. You stand corrected.
Okay. They say that Galileo was a curious guy. He pointed his telescope up to the sky. Along came the Pope and said, you're under arrest. Guess what? That story is mostly a myth. It's true that science was a dangerous field, like being a witch or traditional healer. Agree with the church and it's good for your health. Anything else, keep it to yourself. Don't you challenge their take on spirit. They won't hear it, they said. Don't you challenge their take on spirit. They won't hear it. You're dead. Well, now the men of science trembled in rage as if church was Pharaoh and they were the slaves. But kind of like Moses in days of old, Along come Darwin to free his fold. As soon as the fear of the church was gone, the men of science said, from now on, if anything smacks of spirit, we won't hear it. He said, if anything smacks of spirit, we won't hear it. It's dead. Well, now a Sigmund Freud was a practical man, had a case for telepathy there in his hand. He wrote a colleague, leave it behind. It's hard enough selling the subconscious mind. 'Cause if anything smacks of spirit, they won't hear it. Well, that old-time science did a heck of a job explaining creation without any God. The physical laws that give life a chance all had to happen by happenstance. But modern physics is beginning to split with that old-time science, 'cause the data don't fit. But if anything smacks of spirit, they won't hear it. It's moot. I take this as a lesson. When spirit don't allow any questions, a turning away from God will be the fruit.
Lloyd Ferris here on Peace Paradigm Radio, who, you know, wrote the lyrics to and the music to our theme song. And I... You know, it's great to have you here, Lloyd, but it seems like you're not having any fun when you're singing. You look pretty bored. What do you think? I'm just kidding. So, you know, what is... Michael, you're smiling along as you're hearing that song, because in nonviolence, what we are showing is that there's another worldview involved as well. You don't necessarily have to accept that in order to be able to do nonviolence, but the point is that the human being is something greater than what we realize, and that we can... you know, access the power within us that doesn't have to be religious or just, you know, our full humanity is something that's mind, body, spirit. Can you say something about that, Michael?
Yeah. I mean, Lloyd, I think that song was totally relevant because you talked about science, which was, you know, here we have a clash between science and a kind of spirituality that the powers that be and the billions of dollars invested in this project, they don't recognize it. Hmm. And so, no, I think that was not only a beautiful song, but it was right on the mark. And it's wonderful to hear songs that introduce the new story, because that's one place where what we call the new story, the new vision of the world that embraces quantum theory and goes all the way up to psychological experiments, rarely makes it into popular consciousness. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of one experiment in particular that was done in Mexico, where they had people meditating together in a small space, and then they go into separate buildings.
Faraday chambers, right?
What not? Yeah, that was the second stage.
Yeah.
They go into separate buildings, and one of these people is shown a flashing signal, and the brain reacts to that. So does the brain of the other person who's not seeing that signal. And that works even, as Stephanie was saying, if you put them in a Faraday chamber where no electromagnetic energy can be emitted.
Well, Michael Nagler on some of the some of the science that is coming to light with that helps to also improve our understanding of how nonviolence works. And on our show today, we've had Lloyd Ferris of Berkeley, musician and general writer, thinker, and I want to say activist, but I think it's kind of beyond activism, too. It's an educator, activist, and thing. So, Lloyd, you know, your songs have been so awesome, and so if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, I have a skeleton website that's not really very together yet, but it has my contact info on it, and it's called showmewhatworks.org.
Showmewhatworks.org. And are you on Facebook? Can people find you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook, yes.
Okay.
Lloyd Ferris, LLOYDFERRIS, as in the Ferris wheel.
All right. And, you know, I wonder if you'd be open to doing, you know, concerts and, you know, connecting with people who like your music and
absolutely
have, you know, use a good... We're actually thinking about doing a workshop this summer to see how that goes, but on the singing you know, singing songs about nonviolence and be really interesting. So I want to say thank you to all of our listeners and our underwriters and to those at our mother station, KWMR, for supporting Peace Paradigm Radio. And until the next time, we hope that you go to sites like the Meta Center for Nonviolence, Waging Nonviolence, Popular Resistance, get involved in the Love and Action Network, Campaign Nonviolence, Pace Bene. There's a ton of materials out there to learn a little bit more about nonviolence. So when you come back to the show, you are going a little bit deeper with us every time. And at the same time that you are trying some of these things out in your personal life and in your social life, and again, what we say at Peace Paradigm Radio is take care of one another, because that's why we're here. So take care, everybody. Until next time.
Building a path for the peace paradigm. King and Gandhi, many more, have discovered something core. Now we're building a path for the peace paradigm. Every challenge is another highway sign.